listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. On the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Wait, when do I go first? I never go first.
And in the north, our punk pixie, the lovely Ms. Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys. I don't like the implication that I'm the grown-up of the show, guys.
It's a recognition.
I don't like it.
It is recognition.
No, I don't like it.
It is an admission.
I don't want to be the grown-up of the show. That sounds boring.
Oopsie daisy.
You're younger than both of us, but you are the adult supervision when you are here.
Hey, look, aww. Girls mature faster than boys.
At least that's what they tell us.
Yep.
Hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
And we're quite old.
That's true. That is true.
I've passed my expiration date for maturing, so I'm permanently this way.
You are permanently a child.
I am permanently a teenage boy, a 12-year-old boy.
Once you hit your menopause, you're pretty much stuck in place.
Yep. Pretty much.
Oh my gosh, you guys. How are you guys? I missed you guys last week.
Yeah, how's everybody been doing?
I'm good.
How was your...
I know, I'm boring. It was fun. We went to... So we took a little... not really a day trip even, mm-hmm. but we just went up to Lava Hot Springs for the night and got to go soak in those hot pots and step over puke on Main Street in front of the bar and...
Yeah!
You know, like you do in Lava Hot Springs. So.
That's the best time, man. Stepping over puke.
Yeah. So we didn't go into that bar because...
Well, it'd be full of puke.
Right. So, but yeah, just took a little evening and went away without the kids, which is always kind of nice. And
they're over there having a puking good time.
Yeah. Well, I didn't puke because I'm smarter than that, man. I know my limits.
Was it your birthday week?
It was my birthday week.
Yay, so. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the culmination of the birthday week was going to Lava Hot Springs. I hadn't been in a while, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of a dumb little town to go hang out in with everybody else from Utah. So
Yes, you know. It is. But you know. Everybody loves it.
Yeah. So what about you guys? What have you been up to?
Not giving my vacation money to Idaho, I'll tell you that right off. Fuck a bunch of Idaho. Tune into the Left Show yesterday to find out why, but...
I know.
I'm not even buying my lotto there anymore, God damn it.
It's about time to move out of the western states, or, you know, the country in general, because of just the way these fuckwits are behaving right now. Yep.
True.
Yep.
So
but
that's,
yeah, more on the Left Show yesterday.
Yeah,
for that one. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
We don't go on and on at all. No. We just sort of briefly cover the topic and move on, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure of it.
That's what we do on the Left Show. let's see. This week, I got an offer to help write a book.
Okay.
Which direction?
On my Scottish clan. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
they wanna publish a book. You know, like, so if you go to a Highland Games or a Scottish festival, and go into a vendor booth, sometimes you'll see these books about the different Highland clans. And for MacArthur, it's always been wrong, because our history has been written by other people, and so we want to tell the real story. And he asked me to help him write it. And I'm like, I would be happy to help you write it. So that was pretty cool this week. Other than that, anxiously anticipating my new contract at work. Don't know when the fuck that's going to show up, but I'm waiting for it. It's kind of throwing a wrench into everything because I don't know what kind of time off I'm going to have, what kind of, you know, benefits I'm going to have, or even what kind of pay I'm going to have until I get an offer letter. So I'm like, screaming right now, screaming in stress.
I shall keep my fingers crossed for you, sir.
Cross all the things that can be crossed. That's all I can say. Hopefully everything works out, because, you know, this is kind of it. I've actually sent out applications just to see. If you haven't noticed, there's been a dearth of job openings recently. And I sent out like resume after resume after resume and application for various jobs that I am more than qualified to do. And I still will be working for, you know, working at OSHA, because apparently that's it. I'm too old to employ. So there we go. Yeah. I've gotten letters back. Yeah, we've decided to go a different direction. We decided to go a different direction. I'm like, oh, okay. That's interesting.
And then another one. What is the direction other from what the fuck you asked for resume for?
Right. What you just asked for. And then the other one was, we've chosen another or we're going with different candidates. And I'm like, okay.
Children.
Yeah, children, basically. Yeah, people who will work for nothing. Yeah. Anyway. Enough of those sad stories. Let's go on to some more sad stories in the news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins has died at the age of 50. Announced on the Foo Fighters Twitter yesterday. The Foo Fighters family is devastated by the tragic and untimely loss of our beloved Taylor Hawkins. Musical spirit and infectious laughter will live on with us forever. Our hearts go out to his wife, children, and family. Ask their privacy be treated with the utmost respect with this unimaginably difficult time. What do you say? I mean, I've seen a report already this week, or since this happened, that said he had a few different chemicals in him, and I don't care. It's fucking sad.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It's still a devastating loss that I, like...
It's devastating, and he was still too young. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care what his lifestyle was. He was still too young. Yeah.
Anyway, he was born in Fort Worth, Texas in 1972, raised in Laguna Beach. Joined the Foo Fighters, replacing drummer William Goldsmith, who left the band in 1997. Of course, Dave Grohl has been through losing a bestie before.
Yeah.
Right.
With Kurt Cobain, who was murdered by Courtney Love in 1994. But you haven't heard that?
No, I've heard that. I always get a kick out of it that we will always say that.
It's all over the QAnon.
Yep.
But that he's not really dead. I think he's coming back to run for like mayor of Cincinnati with one of the lost really Kennedy
he's
cousins.
On that island.
Like
he's on
Jerry
that
Springer?
Island off of Greece that they had that they showed in Jim Lives. The book I read, because he's part of the 37 club. I had to look at the title. He's part of the 37 club, and so he's alive. He's just on the 37 club island that's in the Mediterranean. Yeah.
He's waiting for JFK Jr. to call him back into service to take over, you know, as the comptroller of. Oh, I was going to try and look up for something funny.
Yeah.
But I'm too sad.
Not going to happen. Right.
Too
Stephen
sad.
Wilhite, creator of the GIF.
The GIF.
That's not how he said it.
And he's dead, so that'll teach you a lesson right there. Anyway, Wilhite, one of the lead inventors of the GIF, died last week from COVID at the age of 74. He was surrounded by family when he passed. His obituary page knows that even with all his accomplishments, he remained a very humble, kind, and good man. Obviously with a lisp.
Clearly a speech impediment that, you know.
Yeah. Graphics interchange format, which is what GIF is short for.
Yes. Not graphics.
Draphics.
Draphics interchange format.
Where a kid can't be a kid. Marvel employees participated in a walkout over Disney's support of the Florida's Don't Say Gay bill. Employees across Disney's numerous divisions are staging walkouts, dubbed the Disney Do Better Walkout. Boy, they sure can't alliterate, can't they?
I'm very proud of that alliteration.
To protest Florida's controversial Parents' Rights in Education Act, known colloquially as the Don't Say Gay bill. Among those participating are a group of Marvel employees who joined employees of Lucasfilm, Disney Publishing, and more in the walkout. The hashtag Disney Walkout hashtag on Twitter includes tweets from Marvel employees, including editors Alana Smith, Sarah Brunstad, associate editor Annalise Bissa, assistant editor Lindsay Kolick. Yeah, I'm going with it. Kohick. Mm-hmm. Kolick sounds better. And director of creative content Lorraine Sink, among others. Or, you know, if you're what's his name with the GIF thing, it's Kink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, good for you guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well done.
Yep.
Jamie Lee Curtis is once again proving to be problematic for me in that she's a better parent. Now, I think she's a better parent because she has a shit ton of money and I don't.
Mm.
I think I'd be a much better parent if I had some cash.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. I would be too.
But she's going to cosplay a World of Warcraft character while officiating her daughter's wedding.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
In an interview, I still love that we know Jamie Lee Curtis has to have a very nice place and a very nice home up in the Hollywood Hills, most likely, right?
Sure, sure.
Right.
Or up in Beverly Hills. And I love that she said in the interview, you know, that her oldest child was married in her backyard, and that she, and that her new daughter is getting married in her backyard, and she's so happy that they got married in the backyard. And I'm like, you don't have a backyard. You have a back garden, Jamie Lee.
And a state.
You have a terrace, you know, you have something like that. It's not a, I have a backyard.
Anyway, I don't care at what age. I don't care. She's dressing up as Jaina Proudmoore. Yowza.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's still hot. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Absolutely.
Mock me. She's still hot.
Yep.
I'm not getting any younger. Okay, moving on. Anthony Mackie will be opening a film studio in New Orleans. I'm sorry, Jocelyn. I could not use that piece of shit link you sent. I just couldn't do it. And
it
I hope
so
you never send another one from
before.
I've
read that article three times. Like, I clicked on it and read the article.
It's the same.
That one headline was so clickbaity. I couldn't help but send it to you guys.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same clickbaity garbage you sent last time.
I know.
We had to read through it three times to figure out what was going on. And basically, what this is Avenger star Anthony Mackie's building a film and television studio in New Orleans on 20 acres of land. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's his hometown. He's bringing some jobs to the old hometown. That link that you sent was like,
he made his days as Captain America are numbered or something like that. I'm like,
so great.
No, they're not.
Moving to a new
he's
studio.
Pay for this film studio except by playing Captain America.
I know. I loved it. I loved it. It was so awesome to me.
That was bad. all right. I don't know. Particularly, other than it might have been shock that you wanted to share as to why this link was sent. But basically, there's a thing, if you can get to, like, what city is this in again?
I want to say Detroit. I'm not sure.
Anyway, nowhere I can afford.
Nowhere I can afford to go either, and basically this week.
So basically, what you can do is spend roughly $2,500 to get into a 3D imaging booth with William Shatner and have a model, if you will, made of you and Shatner standing apparently back to back. But you have to be touching or the models will fall down.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you get to touch your sweaty back gets to touch Stratner's sweaty back.
You know what?
I've
dreamed of stuff like that.
I loved the disclaimer that you could be in cosplay, but Shatner will be in regular clothes. He will not be in a cosplay.
Right. Yeah.
I loved it.
You could be a cosplay, but he won't. And then if you spend even more money on it, his digital signature will be put on a placard in front of your little statue thing that you get. Because he doesn't sign anymore. He doesn't give autographs at all. He won't do it. I don't even think he signs checks anymore. I think Shatner's done signing his name on things. So this is a rare thing, is basically how it was explained to me. Is like, he doesn't sign anything. I'm like, okay, there we go.
Anyway, it's weird and it's expensive and I don't know where it's happening.
I just love that it's the ultimate fan experience with William Shatner.
You get to touch sweaty backs with William Shatner.
You get to touch sweaty backs with William Shatner.
Okay, so I don't know if we should play this one or not. You know what? I'm not gonna play the fucking audio unless you guys want me to. But basically, Todd McFarlane went on a podcast and said that if a little boy, got a female superhero figure as a gift, he'd turn into a serial killer.
Yeah. That was the gist of it. But on top of it, I mean, the whole premise he set up was so nonsensical, because he said, so your little boy does well in school, and mom and dad, they say, you're going to get it. We're going to get you a toy. We're going to get you an action figure. And they go and they come home and the boy pulls out a girl action figure. And he says, hey, mom, weren't there any, you know, boy superheroes? Oh, sure. Tons of boy superheroes. Weren't there any monsters? Oh, tons of monsters. Weren't there any robots? Oh, lots of robots. So why'd you get me this? And I'm like, and he says, that's why I can't put a female characters in my line. Well, what the fuck is that? First of all, you know, fuck you, Marvel and DC, who have some amazing female characters, and they put them in the action figure line, and they're in the same section of Target. I want to say Toys R Us, but I don't think Toys R Us exists anymore. No. But you know, and honest, and let's be fair. Toys R Us is the only place I ever saw Todd McFarlane toys on a regular basis, and they weren't in the action figure section. They were in the special toy section because they were scary toys.
Now the fucker's designing everything. Half of my toy line at the shop is fucking McFarlane. Yeah.
Right.
Is it really?
Yeah, and that's the most infuriating part is how good his fucking models look. Mm-hmm. He's not some, you know, hunk of plastic He-Man piece of shit toy fucking designer. Mm-hmm. He makes beautiful plastic. You know, beautiful plastic. And I bet
it's not as beautiful as back-to-back with Shatner.
Well, no, nothing could be.
No, nothing could be that beautiful. You can really see his punch as in 3D.
Mine's bigger.
You know, I was an action figure kid growing up, had all kinds of different ones, still loved to collect action figures and that. Even as a kid, like when I got my Star Trek set, I was so happy I got a Lieutenant Uhura in my Star Trek set because she's part of the bridge crew, you know. That was important to me. When I would get the superheroes, I always wondered why, you know, I always wanted to get a Wonder Woman figure, but they were never around. And my dad didn't like that part. He was barely tolerant that I got Uhura because she came in the set that my mother got. He was barely tolerant of that. But yeah, it was like, you know, first of all, your parent went and picked you a girl figure. They're saying more about you than anything. But secondly, it's like, If your premise was, oh yeah, there were lots of boy action figures, well, why didn't the parent get the boy a boy action figure? Weird. Okay. But you always like Captain Marvel, I guess. I don't know.
I really like
Wonder Woman.
I guess I look at toys like, I don't know. Things are unnecessarily gendered in this world. Number one.
Unnecessarily so.
But it reminds me of I cannot remember where I saw it, whether it was Twitter, I don't know, but it was like, it was a mom, like it was a little kid. and they wanted the Captain Marvel figure. And the dad was like, don't you want this Spider-Man or something?
Yeah.
And the mom's like, fuck you, Greg. Let him have Captain Marvel.
I remember the Marvel, fuck you, Greg. I remember fuck you, Greg. Yeah.
Greg. Yeah, I remember fuck you, Greg.
Fuck you, Greg.
No, we had that. I had that yesterday in the store. I had a mom kept trying to steer a boy towards the boy section of the toys. And I just very quietly was like, there's no boy section. We don't have a boy section. Do you have a girl section? We don't have one of those either. We just have toys. And she's like, oh, all right. You know,
if he wants a plushie, it's not a girl toy. He wants a plushie, you know?
Oh, well, I wasn't talking about plushies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. No, and he wanted, it was one of the, I think it was Nebula.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nebula's badass.
Nebula is badass. Yeah. Nebula is also many pretty colors.
Mm-hmm.
True. You know,
I totally get why it was appealing to the kid, but she's just like, no, you got to get something from the boys. And I tried to very, very calmly interject my beliefs.
Yep.
Into the, let the kid get whatever the fuck he wants. He's six.
Right.
You're not going to prevent it, basically. You know, whatever you're trying to prevent, you're not going to prevent it. That's just, it's not, that's not how it works.
Well, and then, the dad made some crack to me that was funny as hell. He's like, hey, shows he's interested in girls. And I'm like, sure, buddy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, little fella ended up getting his Nebula.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. But I still am going to worry about him for the rest of my life now.
He'll be fine.
Only for his parents. That's what I worry about.
Yeah. He'll be fine. He'll be all right. As long as he gets the fuck out of Utah.
Yeah, well.
Hey, want to hear more about that? Tune into the Left Show yesterday.
I want to add the Western states.
Yeah. Yeah, except for Colorado.
Yeah.
That is it for the news, gang.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
We can share a love divine.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul, and I'm listening to Hold 322, the world's greatest podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
So what have you guys been watching on the TVs and the movies this week? Jess?
So it'll sound like I've been watching trash TV, and I guess in some ways it is. But I caught on Hulu the first few episodes of Pam and Tommy, which is the
pornography.
Pornography, yes. It's the story of the leaked sex tape.
Yep.
And I have to say, like...
But it's Bucky, right?
It's Bucky. So it's Sebastian Stan as Tommy Lee. Mm-hmm. Seth Rogen is in it. Lily James, I think, is who's playing Pamela Lee.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it is really well done. And having remembered this scandal when it happened, it's interesting to see this aspect of it. So I'll probably finish up that series just because it really is just like a, it's like a circus, man. Hilarious.
If I recall correctly, Lake Bell is both producing and directing.
Yes, I believe so.
And she is talented.
Yep.
And I think that if you're, what she said about this thing was her goal was to humanize Pamela Anderson in the whole thing.
Right.
And if anybody could do that, it's Lake Bell. She's fucking talent on feet.
Well, it's true. Because, I mean, you know, growing up and watching that scandal happen, Tommy pretty much got a pass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Pam was the slut, the whore, whatever, you know. And I'm like, pretty sure it was Tommy who probably wound up getting it leaked. It was probably Tommy's
idea. No, that's the interesting thing is that, I mean, I don't feel like it's a spoiler. Like, I don't feel like this is something that we have to like worry about spoilers because it's a mainstream story, but the tape was essentially stolen by a mad contractor and he's who leaked it. So like, and at least the way it's portrayed in this series, they really make it seem like Pam Anderson was not aware that this camera was still filming.
When this was filmed. That's where I was at. It was more like, I think it was Tommy's idea to film it.
And of course, you know, I wasn't in the room when it happened. Maybe she was aware. Maybe she wasn't. I don't know that for sure. But the implication. Yeah. Did you like that? But the implication really is that she was unaware or it was not implicitly said that she was being filmed at that time. And so it does. It is bringing up questions of, you know, privacy and morality and. You know, and we have that to this day when nudes get leaked because somebody's mad, like whether or not you're a celebrity or not, as a woman, you know, if I make that decision to send somebody a nude and then it gets leaked later because they're mad at me, I'm the one who gets vilified for that, not the dude who leaked it. Right. So really, like, jump on Hulu and watch this because it's really, really, really well done. And then because I kind of felt crummy and was a little bit sick, I turned on again on Hulu for some reason. I'm on a Hulu kick. There is a show called The Worst of the 90s. And oh, it's like a dumpster fire. So the first episode was talk TV, like specifically looking at Jerry Springer and that type of like fighting and conflict. The second episode was the Viper Room and the death of River Phoenix and the aftermath of that. I mean, talking about the Foo Fighters drummer, they touched on Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love and all of that and the heroin. So. That one's just more dumb fun to have on in the background. I didn't really need to pay attention, but it's much like the news articles, the clickbait news articles that are way longer than they need to be. And they just rehash things, but it was still interesting to watch and remember. And then just for funsies, cause I was bored last night, I watched Captain America Civil War. Cause that movie is in my roster and never gets old. Never, ever gets old.
Ever.
So. Ever. What about you guys? What'd you guys watch this week?
Jeff?
Well, other than Star Trek, which I'll wait and we'll discuss that together. I watched the first episode of Halo. Now, it is important to understand that I am not a Halo player. I'm not dipped in the mythology of the Halo games. I've played them a little. I didn't much care for them when it was split screen. Back then, I have since purchased a couple of titles and played them, and I'm like, okay, it's a run and gun. I like it. You know, I'm fine, whatever. But this is really good. This is on Paramount Plus. And I saw it when I went to watch Star Trek, and I was like, all right, I'll take a look. And Master Chief was good. It was a good setup. Aliens look badass. Their weapons look good. It was pretty good. I liked it quite a bit.
Cool.
Yeah. What about you?
From the CW, we had a lot of the Berlantes there. We had Superman and Lois Lane. That was a really cool episode. All the things that are going on with each of the individual character groups, everything that's happening is just... I just love the show. I don't know. I just can't get enough of this show. I just love it. I'm so happy it's back on. Naomi. Yeah, it's time to ramp shit up. It's time to, you know, must be coming up. Must be getting close to the season finale. Gotta ramp shit up. And yeah, I enjoyed it. The Flash. Yes. Thank you. Please keep doing this. Oh my God. We got a simple, here's a bad guy. deal with the bad guy episode. Nobody had to like go back in time. Nobody had to have a great period of angst or anything. It was just a simple, here's a bad guy, deal with the bad guy episode. I was so happy about that. Oh my God. More like this. I'm worried. Well, actually, I'm not worried about it at all. If this is the final season of The Flash, you're doing the Star Trek season 7, Star Trek Next Gen season 7, where all the episodes are good. That's fine with me. I'm happy to have all the seasons be good. If this is not the final episode, keep it going. Don't, whatever writer you fired, don't hire them back. That's all I'm saying. I'm fair. So glad no one has had to say, I'll go talk to them when they run out of, somebody runs out of the room and somebody else says, I'll go talk to them. Yeah, it became such a stupid running joke. Kung Fu, also a really good episode. It sets up, it's basically taking everything that happened in the first, from last season plus the first two episodes and kind of giving us a new, kind of giving us where we're, our starting point is. So our starting point wasn't episode 1 or 2 or 3. Our starting point for this story will be episode 4, really. Everything that was put into place got taken away, and now we know where we're at. So you got to see episodes 1, 2, and 3 is kind of like an overall episode 0. Then that's just putting you in the place of where you're supposed to be, and after that, that's where this show will take off. And then we had Star Trek Picard, episode 3. I believe it was 3.
Because we had the setup, which was 1.
Yep.
We had the secondary setup, which was 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the time travel to get us to 3.
Yes.
So, I think. It might have been 4.
It's either 3 or 4, but I know the time travel happened in episode. No, so this is episode 4, because time travel was episode 3.
Shit,
so.
It's going faster than I want it to.
It's going a lot faster. Yeah.
Car chase.
Okay.
Car chase. Brilliant.
Fucking amazing car chase. If you watched Will Wheaton's The Ready Room, he interviewed director Leah Thompson, which is so cool to say now.
Yeah.
and they broke it down. They broke down the car chase, that it was that the ladies were actually in the moving car. It was driven by a guy up on the roof. He's the one driving the car. They've got this whole rig where a guy up on top of the roof drives the car and does all the swerves. And then Jerry Ryan just have to react. And they got cameras all around them and everything, but they have to react to where the car turns and moves and stuff. And I'm like, still pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
That you've got actors in a moving vehicle that could flip over at any point. But yeah, it was cool. Car chase was really cool. The bus trip. We had photos of them on a bus, you know, early on with the, you know, as spoilers that came out or leaks that came out from the set. But it was really fun because they're on the bus and there's this old punk rocker with bright red hair playing a song that says, I hate you.
No, I still hate you.
I still hate you.
I
yeah.
still hate you.
Because he updated his song.
Yeah.
Kurt Thatcher reprised his role of the punk on the bus. And we had a fun little comedy moment where Jerry Ryan looks up and says, will you turn that down? And he reaches up, touches his neck and shoulder. He's like, I'm sorry. And he turns it down.
Here's what, now look.
Well, that's funny.
Let me tell you the flaw. Let me tell you the flaw in that scene.
Uh-oh.
He should have been listening on his speakerphone.
Right.
Other than that, fucking wonderful. I had to pause. I was laughing so hard.
Yep. It was so funny.
Yep.
It was so fucking funny. And he reprised his role. He came back because he's a producer, you know, at Paramount. But he came back to reprise his role. And yeah, he assures everyone he still hates us. So we met a new Guinan. So they cast an actress to play a younger Guinan. And she was, first of all, incredible in the part. I had no problems with her acting.
No.
At all. No problems. I thought she was wonderful in the role. And the entire beginning scene, I was sitting there going, you've met him. You've met him. You've met him. There was that whole thing where they found Data's head in a mine that they've said it must have been there since the 19th century. And you've met him because he traveled back to the 19th century along with Data, and they met you. You've met him. And then I'm sorry. This has taken points off my nerd card. This had, because it had to be explained to me. Picard is in what they call a predestination paradox. This is not Federation Picard meeting Guinan. This is Confederation Picard meeting Guinan, meaning he never would have had the chance to go back in time and find Data's head.
Right.
Or have Data lose his head. He never would have dealt with that admission. And even if he had come across those beings, they would have nuked the planet from orbit. Because that's Borg killer Picard, not, you know, even though he has all the memories of Federation Jean-Luc Picard, that event wouldn't have happened. So the Guinan he meets never would have met him. But we also know from yesterday's Enterprise, Guinan is very well aware of time-space issues. And when yesterday's Enterprise happened, she's like, something's not right. This is not how this ship should be. And Picard and everybody else is like, what are you talking about? But Picard's like, no, wait, we need to listen to her. She can sense things that we have no idea about. So as soon as he said his name to her, when he finally told her his name, she's like, okay, you got to go see the Guardian. Angel. And I'm saying it with a pause because when that was revealed, they were dropping off her stuff at the 10th Street mission. And I've already said this when we were talking about this on Discovery last season. I'm really a big fan of City on the Edge of Forever. The 10th Street mission is where Edith Keeler worked.
Right.
And ran her mission.
Did you notice Floyd's Barbershop?
Floyd's Barbershop, which Kirk and her passed on their date.
Yep.
Because they filmed it on the same set they filmed the Andy Griffith Show when they did City on the Edge of Forever, because they wanted it to look like Skid Row. And they passed by it because everything was filmed at the time at CBS. And then also there was a poster on the wall, a boxing match poster on the wall that was from that original thing. And I'm like, that boxing poster has been up since the 1930s when I saw that boxing poster.
Her license plate on her little truck it was S2EP4.
Right.
Which is the first time we saw Guinan in Next Gen.
Yep.
A plaque you can barely see, it goes by so fast, basically has locked this block in as a historic district.
And there was another sign that talked about sanctuary districts, which is a DS9 episode where Sisko went back in time and wound up being in the middle of a riot.
Yeah.
And had to take the place of a historical figure who got killed because of him. And they had to basically, you know, he kept saying this was the riot that changed everything for the homeless. And when Rios was being taken away by ICE, they were taking him to a sanctuary district on the border. So they have at least remembered, oh, yeah, we have sanctuary districts. So thank you, writer team, for Picard to remember that.
All you got to do is just make the dots connect once you've pulled all of the necessary lore from the block.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 All we got to know is that because I kept thinking, shouldn't there be sanctuary districts? And then I realized there probably are, but LA is probably one of the last ones to adopt it. You know, because LA has always been more of a, hey, you know what? Everyone can be here. You know, they were originally a sanctuary. They're still a sanctuary city. Which is different than sanctuary districts. They're still in real life. They're a sanctuary city, which means if you come there illegally, they'll provide you protection. But in reality, the government doesn't have to recognize sanctuary cities. So all that was going on. So when he goes to meet this watcher that he was told to go meet, and we see who it is, and she did that. They did that creepy thing with taking over people's bodies, making their eyes go white. When they walked into that little spatial anomaly, it was followed by a bunch of steam coming down to close the gate. In other words, just like the Guardian on the Edge of Forever.
Right.
So we're back to the Guardian thing, which I'm fucking loving. you know. I like that they're expanding the Guardian lore even more so than Voyager, than Discovery did, by having him show up to deal with the whole situation with Michelle Yeoh's character, Giorgio.
There was somebody on the internet threw out the idea that whoever the Watcher was, it should have been somebody played by Chris Pine.
That would have been clever.
Chris Pine or somebody like that would have been funny. But yeah, I figured they would do this, or they would either have it be her or be Soji, the actress who plays Soji.
Yeah.
I figured, because they got to, you know, got to keep the cast together somehow. So the fact that they made it the Irish lady was just fine with me.
You mean the Romulan?
The Romulan, the Irish Romulan, yeah.
Faith and Bagara. Yeah. I sure do hate a Vulcan.
But you know, she's not a Romulan in this, in when he meets her. So is it that she's adopting a convenient look so that he'll immediately and implicitly trust the Guardian?
Dun-dun-dun.
Or is she really a Guardian on the edge of forever that, you know, put herself in the way to run into Picard and now is falling in love with Picard? Also weird.
Well, wouldn't you? Look at him.
No. I'm already in love with
he
Picard.
He loves dogs.
So yeah, we got a second, speaking of dogs, we got a second, pit bull. That pit bull, and that's all part of Picard, of Patrick Stewart is part of this pit bull rescue group. And has been for years. So if there's going to be a dog portrayed on Picard, like the dog number one back at Chateau Picard, it will be a pit bull because of Patrick Stewart, because he is trying to, he is a pit bull rescue guy. Oh, and speaking of Chateau Picard, they finally explained the elephant that's been in the room since episode one of Next Generation. Why does this Frenchman have an English accent? Because the family in World War II left France and went to England and were in England until his mother convinced his father to move back to France and reopen Chateau Picard and become winemakers. So that's
nice.
That's why his son, both of his sons had English accents. Why, you know, that was it. They were Englishmen. They were English who had moved to France, moved back
there
to France.
Go.
But this had been the original Picard land before, and even the chateau had been there, so they would have had to rebuild the chateau. They would have had to do all that, which is why he was so angry in that scene this season in that room with the dome. I don't know what you call it.
A greenhouse.
Yeah, but he was so angry. It was like, and you see like a shot of either him or Robert throwing a rock through the window. It's because this became more important to their father than them in some ways. And, yeah, I thought that was an interesting moment, but, yeah, I was like, thank you for addressing the elephant in the room about that we've had since 1987. we just grew to accept it because Patrick Stewart is so fucking good as an actor, but it was at the same time. It was like, everybody was always bugging people. Why is he French but speaks with an English accent? Well, it's because he's from England originally. His whole family's from England. Yeah. I can't imagine borders mean that much in the 24th century anyway. So,
I hope not.
Well, after most of the major cities were nuked in World War III, and then you had the eugenics war the eugenics war happened and then World War III happened. And so basically there's very little of humanity left. Borders, I don't think, would matter, but there would have probably been a small period of nationalism. And we got a sense of that in First Contact, that there had been some sort of sense of nationalism.
Speaking of World War III, if you want to talk about how much fun it is to be Star Trek subtext right now, pop over to the Left Show yesterday. Just saying.
We are Star Trek subtext right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and the funny thing is where they mentioned Rios was going to the Sanctuary District, I had just watched that two-parter in my DS9 rewatch, where Sisko goes back in time, and I was like, oh, man, that's hitting right now, right here, right now. Because not only do I watch them, I'll go on to Memory Alpha and read the episode notes, because I'm really fascinated by why they did the X, Y, or Z on the show, you know. And it was like, oh, wow, this is huge, you know, because they wanted that episode to be a big thing that people were talking about and having big conversations about. And they felt that it fizzled when it came out, and that it's only picked up momentum since it went into syndication. And now it's streaming. So it was one of those. And then they also got letters from people saying, why don't you show both sides?
Well, of course they did.
Yeah. They're like, so we should have shown people who are all about locking up the homeless. Okay.
Good times.
Anyway, that was Picard. So fucking loving this show again. I also liked Rios having to say, and he's this weird, he's a flesh and blood robot. I don't understand that. Nobody can explain it to me. I was like, thank you for saying that, that the audience has to wonder about too. All right.
I didn't watch anything else.
Let's do some TV news.
TV news it is. In a story that is not true, cannot be true, and won't turn out to be true, but here we go anyway. Exclusive. Hugh Grant tipped to be the new Doctor Who in a Marvel-style makeover of the hit show.
Uh-huh.
No.
I like the Marvel-style makeover. What does that mean?
Yeah. No, thank you.
Don't get me wrong. No, if Kevin Feige wanted to start producing Doctor Who, I don't think I'd fucking object.
True.
Does Marvel still have the publishing rights? Or no, it went to Titan, didn't it?
Went to Titan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, then the rest of the article is just bullshit.
Yeah.
In what may be heading for a Marvel-style makeover with Hugh Grant piloting the... Look, make no mistake, Hugh Grant as the Doctor, that works for me. I would enjoy that very much.
At one point, they thought about asking him... According to the article, and I know this also from Doctor Who articles and things, they talked about asking him, but Davies was really set on Eccleston, and they didn't think. And then Grant was also really busy making movies at the time.
Yeah.
So they figured we're not going to get him, so they just backed off. And now some fan is speculating, oh, maybe they can call up. They found that out, or they read that again, and like, oh, maybe we can call up maybe they can call up Hugh Grant now because he's not doing anything. He's in fact playing character parts where you wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Trek, the motion picture, has received a 4K restoration and a release date on Paramount Plus. I believe it's April 5th.
Mm-hmm.
I am really looking forward to this. I like the motion picture. I don't hate it. Mm-hmm. Is it the best one? No. In fact, as I tell most people, I like Star Trek V better than I like the motion picture, but I still like the motion picture. But there's a lot of effects that they did that were blurry and weird and kind of hard to see through. And this cleans it up and it makes it look, if you ever wanted to see the dumbest Starfleet uniforms in 4K, here's your opportunity.
No,
with the floating belt buckles.
I still don't think they're as bad as the DS9 rompers.
Really?
I don't like the DS9 rompers. I don't. I've been watching it, and it's a restored version, right, on Paramount Plus. And I'm watching it on a really good screen here in my office, and I'm like, those aren't that great, especially the little undershirt they would wear. They finally, Next Gen finally got good uniforms after with First Contact, and then everything they wore after that. So
yeah. I mean, Next Gen, once they went to two pieces, much better. Yeah, because rompers are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get naked to pee.
Yep.
At least I do. In a romper.
In a romper.
Sorry, I stopped the conversation with that. Sorry.
Loki's okay. It's another one.
Yep.
Loki may return to the MCU sooner than expected. Oh, really? Who's your source? Loki's German voice actor indicates the God of Mischief will return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe very soon. In an interview with Van Plate on TikTok. Oh my God, this just gets worse and worse. Actor Peter Lotzek, who voices Loki in the German dubs of MCU films, confirms he was working on a new movie in which he plays the God of Mischief. Lotzek did not specifically name what film he's slated to appear in.
It's We're done. Probably a German independent movie about Norse mythology. It has nothing to do with the MCU.
There actually is a movie series out there that Norway put out or something about Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. And, they wanted to tell the story right, is what they're saying, you know.
I'm guessing that wasn't the one with Richard Grieco as Thor or as Odin. No,
it wasn't.
I don't think so. But maybe.
By the way, I to roll back a little quickly to Star Trek, Leah Thompson and Will Wheaton talked about the movie they did, Fish Don't Blink. I looked it up. It also stars Richard Grieco. Now I need to see this movie.
Holy shit. That sounds like a grail.
Yeah.
We're on a grail quest.
Yeah, apparently it's an art film that they made in the early 2000s. That it's Will Wheaton, Leah Thompson, but also Richard Grieco. And I'm like, I must see this movie.
Did you find out? Is it streaming anywhere?
I haven't looked yet. I need to look it up.
Okay, we'll look it up. The Disney Mirrorverse has announced a launch date, and they debuted an action-packed trailer. Pretty cool.
Star Trek would like its title back, but yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, it's a highly anticipated mobile RPG game. So it's for your phone. It's another revenue stream for Disney. Moving on. Netflix's live-action Avatar: The Last Airbender confirms season one of Netflix live-action adaptation will consist of 8 episodes. Actor Paul Sun-Hyung Lee has confirmed the official episode count during an interview with the Handsome Genius Club radio show. Why did we not pick that?
I was going to say, how did you miss that one?
I know. Lee revealed that the first season of Netflix's live adaptation would consist of 8-hour-long episodes, contradicting previous reports that this is the most boring fucking article we've picked so far. It really is. It mentions the length of the episode. Okay, I'm going to keep reading because I just need you guys to fucking snore with me. With 8 episodes running at 60 minutes each, Netflix's Avatar Season 1 will have a total runtime of 480 minutes. What? What pay-by-the-word piece of shit is this?
It's like somebody was incorporating their kid's math assignment into their story.
It is. It is. It's like a high school thing where you got to hit your 1,000 words. Now, it goes on, I swear to God, as follows. Interestingly, that is the exact same.
Which Mike Lutz is up.
Yeah, the exact same runtime as Book One, Water, the first season of Nickelodeon's original Avatar: The Last Air. You know what? There's an awful lot of shows doing 8 60-minute bits. Maybe you should have made a list.
Here's what I got out of that excessive math problem that he put out there. They will be able to tell all of Book One, Water in this 8. Don't worry that it's only 8 episodes. They should be able to tell all of Book One, Water in one season, but I really doubt they will. I think they'll cut and then tell the second part of Book One, Water next season.
There you go.
Because that's how they love to milk this shit, which, of course, then winds up getting canceled because of some fucked up reason. And then we
because
only get
Jocelyn
one season.
Watched it.
Yep.
You're welcome to watch this one. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Nova somehow is officially coming to the MCU. The writer for Moon Knight is attached. Look, all I remember is the Nova Corps was wiped out by Thanos, but here comes Nova.
Right. Yep. This made me laugh because I saw another article about this, and the headline on that one that I don't remember if I shared it with you guys or not was the MCU's Green Lantern is coming. And I was like, Green Lantern's not an MCU character. Like, I seriously racked my brain about this. Had a picture of Ryan Reynolds and everything.
But Nova was historically in Marvel Comics, he was their answer to the Green Lantern Corps because Richard Rider, although he took on the role of Nova, taken from an alien that fell to Earth, and he basically fought crime on Earth until he was brought up to the Nova Corps and shown you need to be part of this group, and he refused, and they wanted him to give up his power of his Nova helmet and stop being Nova, give the power to somebody else, which is very much the Hal Jordan story, and they did that because they were like, we can't. They wanted to capitalize on the idea of Green Lantern, or the writer wanted to write Green Lantern, I think. So I watch a lot of the breakdowns of movie trailers or television trailers, you know, because they're usually really good about pointing out Easter eggs that I just don't even see them, you know. And I like the whole Patrick Stewart thing. I knew it was his voice, but how they broke it down to show me all the Easter eggs in Multiverse of Madness, I was like, oh, okay, so it is definitely going to be Professor Xavier. There was a moment in that clip where, you know, America, there's somebody, you know, burning bright is coming right at America, and you immediately had this guy speculating, is it Nova? Could it be Nova? There's long been speculation that Nova will return to the, will come to the MCU. And this has been a thing in every one of these breakdowns since, I think, Captain America Civil War. Is that Nova? Will that be Nova?
Yeah.
And I'm like, finally Nova's here, so get over it now. Can we get excited about another character showing up? Nova really wasn't that interesting of a character in the first place. At least he didn't have to say a poem to power up his abilities. That's all.
True.
I'm desperately wishing that I was good at rap battles so I could do a shitty poem right now.
Yeah.
But I'm not. New live action Voltron movie in the works for Hollywood. I what do you want from me here? I don't.
Whatever.
New live action Voltron movie in the works for Hollywood. Following a string of Hollywood wins, anime is ready to take on the movie biz once again with help from Voltron. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they proved they can do good mecha with Pacific Rim.
Sure. Pacific Rim 1.
Yeah, exactly. And they can make it work where you actually have a compelling story with the operators. So in this case, yeah, let's do the five lions turning into one giant robot, Voltron. That would be fun. I'd also like to see the second Voltron series, where they were various vehicles that would turn into Voltron.
But sure.
That's just me. Yeah.
Sure. Misha Collins has joined Gotham Knights series as Harvey Dent.
Good casting.
Very good casting. Yeah. I love Misha Collins.
Good casting, yeah.
He is probably one of the nicest human beings in existence.
Hey, Misha, when you develop your Two-Face voice, don't talk like this. I hope you've learned that lesson.
That story, Jocelyn?
What's up?
When he did Castiel on Supernatural, he was only supposed to be in for a couple of episodes.
Right.
So he talked like this. He had a big gravelly voice down there like this. And then he was so fucking popular that he was in for another, 14, 15 seasons?
Yeah,
Something stupid like that.
And I had to keep talking like this whole time.
It's very possible his voice is permanently like that now.
Could very well be.
I mean, possibly.
Yeah. That's it for this particular chunk of the news.
So Fish Don't Blink is streaming on Tubi. So totally free to watch.
Okay.
You'll get a couple of commercials and that's it.
Okay.
So yeah, totally free to watch on Tubi.
Sweet.
T-U-B-I. Yep. I'm watching reruns of Fantasy Island. The original Fantasy Island are on Tubi. So yeah. Leah Thompson, Richard Grieco, Will Wheaton, Tony Perensky, John Duncan, Donovan Stewart. A desperate young couple on the run from the mob drop anchor in a remote rundown restaurant in the middle of a desert, named the Nautilus. At first, it seems like a great place to hide out, but soon they find themselves smack dab in the center of a family that gives a whole new definition to the word crazy and makes them think that maybe they'd be better off with the mob. You had me at Richard Grieco, but now I want to see this movie.
Yep. So. Okay.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
Hi, guys. My name's Gigi Edgley, and I play Chiana on Farscape, and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Enjoy. As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hey gang, Jeff here. This segment of the program is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah, brings you everything you need to complete your geek. The airlock to Epic, The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall or nerdstoreutah.com.
We got a box!
What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
Let's do some comic book news.
And boy, am I ready. In a Life Imitates Art story, a comic book creator stepped up to do some real-life street-level heroism. Dave Gallagher has played with both Marvel and DC superheroes, but when he saw a young teenage girl allegedly being assaulted by a group of teens on his street in Brooklyn, he felt compelled to measure up. He stepped in, stopped the beating, and got his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Ended up in the hospital with a lot of broken parts. Yeah, way to go, Dave Gallagher. Fucking A. Mm-hmm. You know, what a badass.
Watching the phone camera footage of him doing that. You know, he stood there, you know, like saying, "I'm a witness," basically to these gangbangers who were beating up this girl, and they came over and just like guy takes a full swing at him. And he just has to take it on the face.
Yep.
Another guy picks up a rock and hucks it. I'm not talking a little rock. He picked up a piece of masonry and hucked it at him, broke his rib doing it. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Good. More people need to do this.
Yep.
You also should know how to defend yourself because, you know, this is what could happen. And this is why what happened to him is why people don't want to step in, because they're worried they're going to get beaten up or even killed by these guys. It's why you need to know how to defend yourself before you do it.
Not for nothing. Ra's al Ghul had a point in Batman Begins.
Yes.
Yep. Your dad should have known how to defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. True. But then again, what would I read? Comixology rolled out a bunch of new updates. Of course they did. To quote, "We've been busy making updates since the launch of our updated Comixology app and new store. We listen to your feedback and we'll continue to share updates and new features as they launch.
This, we know we fucked up. We're going to try to fix it."
And then they end it with a threat.
Oh.
"This is just the beginning."
Oh, good.
Da-da-da. I've had to use my Comixology a whole lot less since I switched shops. Just saying.
G. Willow Wilson. I think we talked about this last week, that G. Willow Wilson will be penning six-issue miniseries about Poison Ivy. This week, she popped up and said, hey, everybody, calm. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to like it when Harley and Ivy make out. Don't you worry. To which I say, huzzah.
I'm very happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Not that I had any concerns. I mean, Q. Will Wilson's an amazing writer and isn't going to.
Absolutely.
She may be Muslim, but she's not going to pull, you know, steer away from any of this stuff that is already established.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, she's a good writer. And maybe Gail mm-hmm. Simone could do a better job. Maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe Kelly. But I mean, well, G. Willow
obviously
Wilson.
Obviously Kelly, but I'm going to trust G. Willow Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, she's top shelf talent. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for the comic book news.
All right, let's talk about what we've been reading this week, Jess.
I picked up a giant stack of comic books 2 weeks ago and then didn't manage to read any of them. And then I picked up another not as giant stack comic book mm-hmm. bunch of comic books. Wow. Yesterday, as we record this, and read some of them. So between the last 2 weeks of picking up comic books, I have a bunch to read, but this is what I managed to read. That mm-hmm. was a really long intro. Elektra, Black, White, and Blood number 3. I just am enduring this. It's just it's 3 little shorts in each issue. Gives you some background on Elektra and her mindset and where she's coming from. 2 of the stories this week, one of them, she actually attacks the Red Room and the Black Widows. And there was kind of a twist in that I was not expecting, which I really enjoyed. And then another one was just an interaction with Matt Murdock, and it got a little steamy, you guys. So that was a good one. I did manage to finish out regarding the matter of Oswald's body, the conspiracy theory comic book about the JFK assassination. And it didn't end how I expected, and that's okay. It was still a good ending, and it still made me think, and it was still interesting. So if you didn't catch that one, I'm sure they'll drop a trade of that sometime soon, now that it's over. I read on the indie side, I also read Rain 3, which is Joe Hill's book about, you know, shards of glass raining down from the sky and killing people.
Jesus.
No, it's amazing. It has done so well.
In other words, our next weather event here.
Yeah. our next weather event. No, but it's really, you guys, I'm not a horror movie person once in a while, but not really. But I have always read kind of that horror fiction genre. So Joe Hill, Stephen King, you know, that mm-hmm. genre of books is something I've always enjoyed. So to see it in a comic book form is really, really fun. And this one's really well done as well. So if you're not mm-hmm. reading it, you should be. She's still trying to get to Denver. Bad things happen in this issue, so it'll be interesting to see what happens next. And then I am not 100% caught up on all of my Devil's Reign stuff. I'm working through it, but I did read Devil's Reign Superior 4 number 3, and I'm learning that the multiverse makes my head spin, much like Doctor Who does, in that wibbly wobbly timey wimey, I just have to kind of accept things. There's not necessarily mm-hmm. rhyme or reason. But I liked it. I liked it. There, it was weird and quirky, and they do. I mean, of course, they end up back in this Earth, and we're still, you know, using the Fantastic Four's setup to try and fix things, and so there's that. And then Devil's Reign number 5, you guys, it is mm-hmm. so good. I am so like. I've talked not endlessly. I've talked on the show about how I really hate this big crossover event thing. And then it involves my characters and I love it. Sorry. But this one, yeah, right. But I mean, it's just so good. The Purple Man's out of control. Fisk has remembered the secret identity of Daredevil and goes to Daredevil's apartment where Mike, my least favorite Daredevil character, because he's the imaginary, not real brother who somehow became real. Mm-hmm. He finds Mike, but doesn't know it's Mike. He thinks it's Matt, and he beats him up. and we'll see what happens from there. So there will only be one more Devil's Reign. I know there's other side titles going on, but they're going to be wrapping this up in the next few months, and then the new Daredevil will drop, which will be fun to see what happens, where they're going to go. So that is what I managed to read out of my giant stack. What about you, Jeff?
Jason Aaron's writing Punisher now. Started out cliche, moved on to trope, went to double trope cliche, and then triple back cliche, and then to the end hook. And it was still good. It was still really good.
Okay.
It's Jason Aaron, man. Dude can write.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm just saying, as far as the Punisher goes, there's not a lot of depth to Frank Castle.
No.
And no matter how much you want to try, he's just going to kill bad guys. And so
that's kind of his thing. Yeah.
Yep. So we find out a little bit about how his symbol turned into that weird looking rabbit skull, and that worked out okay. I didn't mind it at all. Ghost Cage. I got to pick this one up. I don't know what I read. I don't know what happened in this. But holy shit, am I hooked? It's by Nick Dragota, and Caleb Goldner. It's in black and white. It takes place in a weird future. Something to do with a giant nuclear furnace. I honestly don't know what the fuck happened. All I know is that at the end of it, I was like, I need more. So if you get to your local comic shop and they've got a copy of Ghost Cage, I got a feeling by the third issue, it's really going to hook in hard. And then I read We Have Demons, the new joint from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. Wow. Young lady. Just about anything that you say about it is a spoiler. Because the thing is one twisty twist after another, and yet it's fucking great. I mean, it was just great, and I like it. And I think I'm upset it's only going three issues. I think I want it to go longer. I don't know why, but you know, in a world that has Something Is Killing the Children, which is so fucking good, and it keeps on going, I don't know why We Have Demons only gets to go three. I just imagine that Scott Snyder's busy, you know, with his wheelbarrows full of money, he's pulling out a Substack at this point.
That's right.
Yeah. Otherwise, but yeah, if you guys haven't picked that one up yet, I would suggest grabbing that. It's actually one of the best sellers we had this week, just based on Snyder and Capullo being the ones running it.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Let's see. From DC Comics, Black Label, we have the Human Target book 6. Holy shit. Holy shit. Does this count? Is this canon? Is this like permanent? I mean, nothing's ever permanent in DCU. There's always a multiverse solution to it, but still. Fuck! It was a hell of a moment. Hell of a moment in that issue. Another great moment of Christopher Chance being the Human Target, but in a different way. And it just, wow. King is doing with these books. He did this with Strange Adventures by making Alana stop being the damsel in distress, the girl that Adam Strange would all, you know, his love, who he would go to, his Deja Thoris, basically, to being an actual badass by the end of the series was incredible. This one is doing that to Ice, the character Ice, who was often thought of as a shrinking violet, who'd been dead at one point but got better. They even make fun of it in Human Target, but it's like, this is just, yeah, it was a hell of an issue. And I'm a little nervous because I have not seen a solicitation since issue 7 or 8 in 2 months.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are you gonna let us marinate on this last, you know, what you just did to Guy Gardner and everything? Is that what you're going to do? And you're going to let us marinate and freak out and send in letters, and then you'll finally put out issue 7? Because it's supposed to be a 12-issue series, so I don't know why what's happened. Or is it just that Greg Smallwood needs more time to draw it? I don't know. From Marvel, Captain Carter, number one.
So I missed that one.
Well, yeah. This is... I had to get a variant because they were gone. This is taken off from What If, the idea of what if Peggy Carter had been given the super soldier formula instead of Steve Rogers. This is that in between time that we have, because we saw some stuff that happened in the animated series. Mm-hmm. When she comes back, this is kind of the in between stuff, which is really good. Really interesting. And I think it's a very compelling way that they're writing it. And then finally, to take me back to the 90s, the late 80s, early 90s, Wolverine Patch number one by Greg Hama and Andrea DeVito. This is fucking amazing.
Oh, good. I picked that up.
The opening page, you get, they give you the blurb about who everybody is. And it's, you know, they give you the original Sal Buscema art from the Chris Claremont Wolverine series. Because even when Claremont left and Hama took over, Sal stayed on as an artist for a little while. This is that period. This is not Genosha Wolverine, who will have to, you know, who's constantly got a plant that he's got to jump through to go back to Genosha. No, this is the classic Wolverine. It even says former X-Men Wolverine is now, you know, has taken over running the Princess Bar with his business partner Tiger in the opening bit. This is that they just basically set up when it is. You even have Archie in his old DC-10, you know, and everything. It's basically a throwback to the good old days of Logan and Wolverine. So you even get White Nick Fury showing up for a minute, yelling at Wolverine. So Hama's just like, no, this is 100%. Let's go back to the way it was. You get a wild mutant fight that takes Wolverine down because it's got to in the first issue, so that, you know, you can have the good bounce back moment. There's a larger conspiracy going on, all kinds of awesome little moments, and yeah, well done. I'm digging it. I wish that this were longer than a, what is it, 4-issue, 6-issue limited series. Let's see. Patch is a 5-issue limited series. I wish it was longer than 5 issues. I wish they could just keep Larry Hama writing old Wolverine stories for a while, because this is good stuff. I like that they describe him as, oh, that's that Patch guy who warms a bar stool at the Princess Bar. That was cool. Anyway, that's what I've read this week. I got a big stack yesterday from the comic shop and got halfway through. So those are the three highlights. But today is, and I also have a stack of independent books that I got through Kickstarter that I got to get through. I've got Wasatch Wonders and The Illusion Witch that I got to get through as well. So they're sitting here on my table to read, and I'm like, wow, I got a lot of stuff. I'll probably be going waxing on for a couple of weeks on some of these. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, what books are you looking forward to this week? This is the last week in March, so we aren't really getting an end-of-the-month dump, just sort of some books. So let's start with Joss.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot that I saw that I was like, woohoo! So I did find from Scout Comics, it's a number 4, so I'm going to have to go back and find the first 3 as well, but it's called We Don't Kill Spiders. And I was like, we don't kill spiders? I kill spiders all the time. What's up with this? But the identity of the serial killer tormenting a prosperous Viking village has been revealed. And Bjorn and Revna find themselves in a life and death struggle against this deranged psychopath. And so now I need to find out like, what's been going on? Because this sounds intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and find, actually, We Don't Kill Spiders 1, 2, 3, and number 4, so that I can read them and catch up on it.
I think that's coming out in trade here pretty quick.
Is it? Oh, maybe I'll just hold off and get the trade then.
Shoot me an email at work. I'll look it up for you.
Okay, will do. So that is what I'm going to look forward to. What about you, Jeff?
I'm not sure why. I think it was a lack of choice, because it is kind of a light week. But Zombies versus Robots Classic, number 1. Back in print for the first time in over a decade, the original Versus title is back to reclaim its turf and introduce itself to a new world. Yeah, it's Zombies versus Robots.
What's not Zombies versus Robots. Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at that. I've never read that. I take it it's a decent series and I should pick it up?
No idea. Never read it. That's why I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
And then Good Boy Volume 1 coming out in trade. This is basically a reverse John Wick. John Wick gets murdered and his dog takes out revenge. And I gotta admit, it's fucking great. I mean, it is really, really good. Christina Blanche and Garrett Gunn just really knocked it out of the fucking park, and I enjoyed it so much. I would like to collect it so I can loan it out. So if you haven't read Good Boy, you're missing out. It's just good vengeance fun. And I think we all know by this point just how much I like a good vengeance.
Well,
I mean, who doesn't?
Exactly.
Really.
If you needed a thing on your resume, just I'm out for vengeance. Yeah.
Yep. I am a revenge fetishist.
Yes.
I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, how about you, sir?
For me, my independent pick would be Pearl Volume 1 by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Gatos. I read Pearl issues 1 through 6 in regular comic book form. Loved it. I remember there was a pain in trying to get the issues because they would solicit them and then they wouldn't come out on time. And that was even before they moved to... they moved over to Lunar Distribution. So getting it in a trade would be nice. I also understand there's a Pearl Volume 2 that I never heard about, nor did I ever pick up. So now I need to find the Pearl Volume 2 because Pearl Volume 3 is about to drop from in single issues from Dark Horse as well, since Bendis moved all of his stuff over to Dark Horse. But yeah, that's my indie pick. Mainstream picks... start with Marvel Comics Iron Fist number 2, just because I love Iron Fist. And from DC Comics, Sensational Wonder Woman Special number 1. This is 3 stories about Wonder Woman. What the hell? Love Wonder Woman. So, yeah, let's do it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, talk about a short week. DC had very little to choose from.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. What about you, Jeff?
For myself, my very own self, I'm doing Batman Beyond the White Knight. This is another Sean Murphy joint, which is pretty cool. If you've read the Batman the White Knight and Curse of the White Knight, very good series. If you haven't, you should pick it up. It's really good. And I'm not sure about this. I have to imagine that it's something leading up to the Banner War, maybe, or maybe it's a weird-ass one-off or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Hulk Grand Design Monster, number 1. But
I almost grabbed this one, too, and then I saw that you had grabbed it, so yeah, I didn't.
Jim Rugg follows in the tradition of Ed Piskor and Tom Scioli in unfurling the full saga of the Incredible Hulk from the very beginning to the present. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what it's going to be, but if it's something that is paying homage to Ed Piskor, it's going to be fucking weird. So, we'll see how that goes.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. I'm going to go with, because I love Kelly Thompson from Marvel Comics, Captain Marvel number 37. But if you have not been reading Captain Marvel to now, This is a great new storyline jumping off spot. So I recommend you go out, pick it up, because she's doing wonderful things. Carol Danvers deserves a break, and so does fellow Marvel Monica Rambeau. But with Redacted loose on Earth, the heroes have no time to breathe. So I'm not sure who's on Earth. I'm not sure who we're going to fight next. But this That's is the longest. Yeah, it's the longest running Captain Marvel title to date. So, pick it up, because Kelly Thompson, I mean, she has killed it with this Captain Marvel run. I have really enjoyed every issue. So,
even though it looks like her Black Widow run is about to end with issue 15.
Yeah.
Based on solicitations, I haven't seen a solicitation since issue 15. Yeah, so that looks like that's going to end. But we'd definitely, Captain Marvel, she's been able to keep that going, which is good. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
Yep. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Anything else this week, kids?
Not for me. Let's go make a commercial. No, that's not now.
That's not it.
No, that's not now.
No, but speaking of which, we are to this week on Patreon. We're going to talk about some fantasy movies that deserve a second look. They were box office bombs, but they deserve a second look. And unlike the science fiction movies we talked about last week, this list, I've seen a lot of most of these.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I will say we have a new t-shirt available in the merch in the t-shirt section. Jeff's wearing it. I cause
emergency safety trainings.
That's right. So, I think that's what I want to see wearing that one. Take a photo of yourself wearing it. Maybe outside your comic shop, at home, and wherever. Tag us on Facebook at Hold322. Tag us on Twitter at Hold322, or on Instagram at SifuJCC, and let us know that you're sporting our wares, as it were. And I will say, as I always do, until Wolverine has to fly in that DC 10 again, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
And for Asgard. Asgard?
Asgard?